Welcome to Belfast City Vineyard, where we are pursuing formation in the presence of Jesus, community gathered around him, and the impact he empowers us to bring in our families, city, and the world. The following message was given at one of our Sunday services. For more information, visit our website at belfastcityvineyard.com.
Well, good morning. Morning. For those of you that don't know me, I'm Sarah, and like Alan said, I'm part of the leadership community here, and I oversee the Gospel of Wholeness ministry. I'm a teacher as well. I teach philosophy and ethics in a local boys' grammar school, which I absolutely love. Basically, I'm getting paid to argue with teenagers for a living. It's awesome. I am married to the very handsome Matt, and together we have been coming to BCV for the guts of probably about 15 years. Not long after we started coming to church, I was on staff for a while as assistant children's pastor with Katie, and I sort of had this fear, if I'm honest, that I would go on staff and find out how things really worked at BCV, you know, see the cracks, get the inside story, as it were. But actually what happened was I fell more in love with this place, our leaders, and had more respect for them than before, which was actually refreshing. Their integrity held up. They were the real deal, and so Matt and I stuck around. In fact, it was those relationships and knowing the heartbeat of BCV that has kept us here over the years, when at times everything else in us wanted to run from organized church, so to speak. We also have three adventure-loving, energy-seeking, crazy children. They are 7, 6, and a just-turned-1-year-old. So if you are thinking, I have never in my life laid eyes on this woman who apparently has come here for years, you maybe haven't, because I have spent a large number of Sunday mornings over the last bunch of years in one of the kids' rooms, and generally we leave pretty quickly on a Sunday because we have a 1-year-old, but this morning my wonderful family aren't actually here, so I won't be distracted and I won't be running anywhere at the end of the service. So please come say hi. I would really love to have a chat with you. So this morning we are going to continue in our summer series called The Radical Middle or Vineyard Distinctives. Over the last few weeks, we have been looking at some of the key phrases, if you like, that have caught our heart as a movement over the years and unpacked them a little. A few weeks ago, Andy looked at the vineyard man. Sounds weird, I know, but it's not. It's just a visual representation of the values of who we are and what we are called to be as a movement. If you missed that talk, you should check it out online in the podcast. But today we are going to be looking at community, which is the body of this man. We're going to have a look at family. And here in the Vineyard, we believe that it is a place where we experience together the radical welcome of Jesus. Church should be a home, a place where everyone is welcomed. We even have it on our banner, on our sign as you drive in the morning. We are family with a purpose, where we each have an individual mission. Now, at the very outset, folks, I need to be really honest with you and say that this is an area that I personally have really struggled with over in the years, and in some ways, I continue to. In fact, if there was one Sunday that I would plan to miss in the church calendar, I know none of you ever do that, but if I was picking one, it would be Life Group Launch Week. I know, sorry, Alan, but that's how I kind of feel about it. You see, my difficulty has always come with the language that people use when they talk about community. Often you hear people say, let's do life with these people, or let's be each other's people, or let's be family, eat meals together, hang out, have fun. And if I'm honest, I have sat here and thought, yeah, all those things sound great, go for it. But I already have a family in this country who I'm really close to, and I have really good friends that I don't get to see enough, so I don't need more people to be my people. Almost a thanks but no thanks kind of attitude. I'm good with what I've got, and let's be honest, I am pretty sure that some of you here have thought exactly the same thing. When Matt and I first came to BCV all those years ago, one of the very first things that stood out to us was the welcome that we received and the genuine friendliness of people. I would go as far as to say it is one of the main things that made us stick around, and I'm sure that many of you have a very similar story. It's nice to be welcomed and feel like you have a place, isn't it? Some of you this morning are here for the first time, and we are so glad that you have joined us, and you are so, so welcome. We would love for you to sign up to one of the life groups that Alan mentioned that's in your booklet this morning and be a part of our community. You don't have to have been coming for a year before you can do that. You can do it today. That's what we did when we started. About 4 weeks in, Matt and I joined a life group, which back then, believe it or not, was for a year. You had to commit for an entire year, not just a term. And in that year, we got to know folk and made some of our best friends. It was absolutely a highlight of the week. I loved life group, I loved community, and it served me well. But then something happened. Fast forward a few years of marriage, grief, stress in work, a baby, and all of a sudden, we were stretched in a way that we had never been before. Practically, it was no longer possible to get out midweek to a life group, let alone see our friends. And slowly, we began to drift from commitment to most things, but most noticeably, it was our commitment to church. We were those people who went from being involved in everything to being involved in nothing. In fact, for about 3 years, we were a wee bit like satellites orbiting the building here on a Sunday morning. We arrived late, drank coffee, hung around the back, got out as quickly as we could. We had ticked the I've been to church box, and so that was that. I have always had a pretty good head knowledge of theology, and so I knew that God didn't love me any less with my current non-committal lifestyle, so I was fine with that. God loved me, I loved him, I didn't need anybody else, great. One day, I was in work taking Year 8 Scripture Union, under duress I might add, with a colleague, and she was telling this group of 40 plus 12-year-olds that right now, in that moment, we were experiencing a glimpse of what heaven was like. Being together, playing games, having fellowship with one another, praying together. And she said that we all belonged to Jesus' family, even though we weren't friends. And that in that moment, we were being taught how to love each other. And in doing so, she said that we were sanding off the unpleasant bits of our personalities so that we could fit together better. And she used the illustration of Jenga blocks, you know, the game. Well, inwardly, I metaphorically vomited. I had a mild panic attack because I thought, if this right here, right now, is heaven, no thanks. This is awful, in fact, painful. These sweaty, irritating, really irritating 12-year-old boys are my family for eternity? Are you kidding? I didn't sign up to it, no thanks very much. And that tells you all you really need to know about my spiritual life at the time, and I haven't played Jenga much since. But those 15 minutes, one lunchtime in work, with the aforementioned sweaty, irritating 12-year-old boys, it began a really significant journey for me of trying to get to terms with what it meant to be part of the family of God and live in community with one another. Through lots of questions, reading, thinking, huffing, a shift of head knowledge to heart knowledge, which I suppose you could call experience, I have now come full circle, and not only do I now know that we need community, because it says so in the Bible, but I have experienced the power of being connected to church family and being in community. So let's have a look at the end of chapter 2 in Acts together. If you have a Bible, you can turn to Acts chapter 2, verse 41. And just before we read it, I want to set the scene briefly for you. Acts begins with Jesus having risen from the dead, and he's just spent 40 days with his disciples, teaching them and preparing them for everything that was to lie ahead of them, which we all knew was the Great Commission. They were going to be Jesus' witnesses in the towns that they were. They were to travel throughout the ends of the earth and tell everyone who he was, but they were to wait until they received the power from the Holy Spirit. So chapter 2 begins at Pentecost, whenever the disciples are in a room and they receive that power from the Holy Spirit. And then Peter, one of the disciples, addresses a crowd. He gives them what is considered to be the first Christian sermon. So in verse 41, it says, those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. I just want to pause there for a second and think about that. 3,000 people were added. Like, that is a heck of a lot of people. So what we're about to talk about, it's not just a group of mates, of strangers, you know, 50, 100 in a room, 3,000 people. So in verse 42, it goes on and says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So you can see from this that the church has always gathered together. They didn't see themselves as isolated individuals, but as members one of another in communities. It is the founding DNA of the Christian church. And so if that is the case, I figure that there has to be some value in it for you and I today. If you look through the Gospels, you will see in the life story of Jesus that he made collective worship and being in community his custom. He took time out in solitude with his Father, which is a great rhythm for us to learn and to be disciplined in. But Jesus actually spent more time worshiping with others than alone. Very often I hear people say, and I too at times have been guilty of this, that I don't connect with or worship God through singing with people or sharing my stuff in a group. I worship and connect most with God when I'm alone on a beach, at my piano, up a mountain, in my armchair drinking my favorite coffee, wherever the place might be. And yes, all of those are really good environments where we can marvel at God's creation, we can reflect on his goodness, we can address our fears, our hopes, our frustrations, but not like we can when we're in community. In community, we are unified. We can see or hear that the person next to us is struggling or that they too feel alone. For example, together in worship this morning, we declared what God has done, who he is, and what he will do. We connected to each other and God in a way that we just can't do when we are by ourselves. That's why listening to a podcast of a service on your own or singing worship music really loudly in your car is never the same as when we do it together. And this is one of the reasons that I have changed my position on being in community from a great for you, not for me attitude to count me in, I want to talk about it in church, please. And I have discovered that being in community is radical and deeply formational. I don't think that we can be fully engaged in formation and impact and pursuing intimacy with Jesus without community. But let's be honest, it isn't always easy. In fact, I think it's really, really hard. And here's a quote from John Wimber. He says, love one another is easy when you're watching television, but when you have to go do things with people, some you don't even like, much less love, that's when the rubber meets the road. So it's hard, it takes commitment, and commitment to anything requires a certain level of sacrifice. And I certainly don't find sacrifice easy, but to be honest, I don't actually think we're meant to. So let's take a little minute to look at why is it hard, and there are a few reasons that I've come up with. The first one is our culture. There is language around community in Northern Ireland that is very often associated with division. The peace wall, which was built during the Troubles to separate traditionally Catholic and Protestant communities, still divides our city. And so we live in a land where, depending on what community you are in, means that you are rejected from another. I think for different reasons and in different ways, this has built up walls in some of our hearts. We don't actually believe that we can be in a community with people who are different to us. I think this morning that Jesus wants to break some of those walls down. Another cultural barrier is family. Now, I know that sounds pretty weird, but hear me out. In Northern Ireland, we tend to be around family more because let's face it, some of us are born here, go to school here, work here, never leave here, die here. And that's quite unique to our little country. It's really, really lovely. But what it does is it removes any apparent need for other community. Really good friends of ours moved to England a few years ago and left their family, and they knew nobody at all. But very quickly, they formed community in the church they went to, because no one in that community in the church had family who lived nearby. And so they all began, with strangers basically, to have family lunch together. And what might take us a year or more to achieve here in Belfast, they achieved in a matter of months because they shared life with each other. I'm not saying let's stop eating Sunday dinners with our families, because I'm not giving up my mum's roast dinner that easily. But what I am saying is maybe instead of doing that every week, maybe once a month or once a term, you could invite people here in this community who don't have family to join yours, or simply to be free to receive an invitation to someone else's house, that we would be available for community. Another barrier is our own stuff. Identity issues, unresolved conflict, unforgiveness, fear that if we had to talk to people and if they really knew what we thought, they would dislike us or judge us. Let me just say, I get it. The fear is real, but you kind of just have to take a deep breath and go chat to someone or do something about it. Go to the Following Jesus course to learn some healthy rhythms to deal with stuff. It's not just for new Christians. It's almost like an MOT for people that have been Christians for a long time to see, how do I connect with God again? Or you do the gospel of wholeness, talk to a pastor, but don't do nothing. Speaking from experience, that is not going to go well for you. A question I have often asked myself is, why is it so important? My life seems okay as it is. You see, when we press into community in an intentional way, we get to see and know God the Father in a whole new way. It's a little bit like if you have a work colleague that you work really closely with and you know well, but then you go to their house for dinner or have a barbecue and their family are there, you see this whole different side of them. That's what entering into community is like. You cannot pursue intimacy with Jesus and not know his family. The Bible is really, really clear on it. Throughout the New Testament, in Paul's letters to the churches, when he writes in Corinthians and Galatians and Ephesians, he is assuming that they are gathering in community. Jesus loves the church. In Ephesians 5:25, Paul said to them, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her." So how can we say that we love Jesus but are against or even apathetic about what he is passionate about? John Wimber, one of the founders of the Vineyard movement, he said, "We have been called to love the things that Jesus loves," and that is his church. Community, whether we like it or not, allows us to serve and to be served by our family. You and I need to be cared for, and we need to care for others. So often in our culture, we think that we just need a personal pastor, which absolutely has its place, and at times we do. But what we actually need is an intimate life with Jesus and to reconnect to his church. We live in an age that psychological studies say is more connected than ever, yet people are actually lonelier than ever. Your life can be full of people, but who really knows you? Who really knows your fears, the things you struggle with, where you are stuck? We need real people in front of us. It is almost impossible to love each other if we never relate personally to one another. And that is what life groups or serving teams are for. It's where people can relate and live out the gospel. It's everything that we learn in the Bible. Life groups and being with people is where it gets tested. Being with people, if you like, is the place where you get rubbed raw, and we learn how to love the unlovely, and we learn how to love people that we don't actually like. And we learn how to fulfill Jesus' command, which was to love one another. Sacrificing a night or a morning in your week is a way of saying that you want more of God. I think saying that we don't have enough time to commit isn't a great excuse. If we waited until we had enough time to do things, I don't think we'd ever do anything, but maybe that's just me. What we need to do this morning is make the decision that this group of people in front of you, this family of which you are a part of, is worth your time and commitment. We actually need to mature in loving one another. Growing in God's love was God's plan for us, and it's hard to love people unless you are near to them, warts and all. People around us are ways in which God shares his love with us. They actually mediate God's love to us, and we can't get that if we are not making ourselves available. In making this decision to be available, to be part of the church family and step in the community, we get access to the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in a unique way, and that's pretty cool. If we want to have an intimate relationship with Jesus and really, really know him, we just need to be in community. It's that simple. But that will look different for all of us. For some of us, we will sign up to 3 life groups and 2 courses, and that's great. Go for it. Enjoy. For some of us, we're parents at home with kids, and it's not practical to get out on an evening. But we could go to MOPS and intentionally make that our community. Or if you find yourselves in one of the kids' rooms because your children won't stay, or standing out in the porch because you need fresh air, why don't you decide that the people around you, the parents that are there every week, that they will be your people? Purposefully ask them how they're doing. Can you pray for them? And if you see them next week, ask them how that thing went. Invest in them for this season. I remember when Martha, our middle child, who's now 6, was a baby, she had terrible reflux and she cried for pretty much 6 months solid, and it took us a long time to really, really love her. And if I'm honest, it broke us, which is why we waited 6 years to have another child. But there was a lady on the welcome team each week, and when we walked through the door, and Matt and I had brokenness written all over our faces, like we were angry with the world, with, you know, inanimate objects, that was us. But every week when we walked through the door, this lady smiled at us. She would always pat my back, which I thought was strange at the time. But during worship, we would be passing the screaming child between us, squatting her, trying to get her to be quiet. And this lady, without fail, every week, brought us both a cup of tea, Matt a cup of coffee. She put her hand on our shoulders, and she quietly prayed. I didn't know her name. We never had a conversation. But she made us feel known and seen, and she was our community for those months, even though at the time we didn't realize it. I didn't, and if I'm honest, I actually probably wouldn't have picked her to be my community, but she picked me. God shared his love for me through her. So maybe work patterns for you mean that going to a life group or a course just aren't an option. So maybe you could think about being on a serving team on a Sunday morning. We have loads of them. And for those of you that are on a serving team, maybe you could think about going further with those that you serve, going deeper in the community, because it's not just about getting the stuff done. It's about being available for each other. And so I wonder, who are your people in this place going to be for the next 12 weeks? So basically, that's from now until Christmas. I am not asking you to share your life story with people and live every day with them. No, definitely not. But I am asking, who are you going to commit to and say that I will show up, I will love you as best I can, and I will serve you as best I know how. And by doing so, you're saying, Jesus, here I am, I want and I need more of you. In the Psalms, David wrote, I think it's in Psalm 133, he says, how good and how pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. So not only is it good for us to be in community, but David says that it is pleasant. So it's actually enjoyable. Some of you are, you know, shuddering at the thought of that. But it should be a highlight in our week when we meet with one another. Some of us have lived and have tasted that, and we are leading life groups. And some of us this morning, it is really hard to stomach because you don't find it enjoyable at all. And if you are really honest with yourself, it's actually a chore for you to go, or you go motivated by guilt because you think you should. And maybe this morning, your next step is to have an honest conversation with yourself and with Jesus about how you really feel about community and why you avoid it, because there will be a reason, or why do you guilty go? And maybe you should spend some time meditating on Psalm 133. I'm nearly done here, but this is a slightly different end to Life Group Lunch Week. And rather than asking you all to sign up before you go home, I'm going to ask you all to take some time to think and to pray about it. Ask Jesus who he wants you to be in community with this term. Who does he want you to serve? And who does he want to serve you? Because he actually does have people. What if we didn't treat this as optional? But what if we come with expectation? So whatever group or course or serving team we commit to, rather than just showing up, doing your bit and leaving with a see you next week or next month mentality, what would it look like if our attitude was not just about getting our needs met, but we showed up knowing that in part we were there to serve and love others? I think that it would look like our church being radically different if we all decided to intentionally pursue community, to intentionally know one another, and to intentionally be known. I believe that the power of the Holy Spirit would be released in a radical and transformational way. So that is pretty much us done. If the prayer ministry team could come up now, that would be great. And if we could all stand and pray together. Whenever I was preparing for this morning, I had a picture of people on the beach, and it was a beautiful, really big beach, and they were turning in circles, making incredible sand pictures that other people who walked by were stopping and looking at and admiring. But the individuals who were making the circles were getting really frustrated because they weren't moving along the beach, which is what they were trying to do. They weren't actually trying to make nice sand pictures. Some people, I think, this morning are stuck in their relationship with God. You are serving, you're loving your friends and your family really well. You're being intentional in your own rhythms with Jesus, but you don't feel like you're moving forward. And what you're doing is great, and other people are really noticing it and commenting on it, but it's not what you want. And I think that by being in community with your church family, that will unstick you. So if that resonates with you this morning, I would love to pray for you at the end. So let's pray. Holy Spirit, come. Yeah, Jesus, we just ask for more of you in our lives and in the lives of our families and in this community here. Jesus, I just ask that you would speak to all of us this morning really clearly about where you want us to be in this place, who you have for us to be in community with, Jesus. Would you give us a new love for your church? Would you help us to grow in love for one another? And with you, Jesus, would you give us courage this morning to have hard conversations with you, with ourselves? And Jesus, I pray that you would just help us all step into community in a new way this morning. So God, would you take whatever words that were mine this morning and just make them fall away? And Holy Spirit, would you make the important stuff stick? Yeah. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For all the latest information about what's happening in the life of our church, or if you have any questions or comments, head over to BelfastCityVineyard.com.